Amen. In our gospel reading from Matthew, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where's the one who's been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go, make a careful search for the child, and as soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary. They bowed down and worshipped him. And they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. May God bless the reading of Holy Scripture. This is Epiphany Sunday, and on Epiphany Sunday, we remember that Jesus is the light of the world. He's not simply a Jewish light. He's not a light only for people from ancient Middle Eastern cultures. He's not a light just for religious folks. He's not a light for people who like getting up and going to church on Sundays. He's not a light for people who obey the rules and keep their noses clean. This Holy One, born to Mary, is light for the world. Light for everyone. Everywhere. Though we sang We Three Kings this morning, and I'm the one who chose that hymn, by the way, we have no reason to assume that there were three of them, nor that they were kings. More likely, this was a traveling band of astrologers, accompanied by a big group of servants with their supplies. They were likely from Babylon, which would now be Iraq, though we don't know that either. It could have been China or anywhere else to the east. They may well have been of the Zoroastrian religion, but the point of the story is they were foreigners. They weren't Jewish. And in that way, they represent all of us who wonder whether there is new light being born in us too. So the caravan of Eastern astrologers makes its way to Jerusalem and asks for an audience with King Herod. They ask Herod where the king of the Jews is to be born. Now, Herod was accustomed to foreign delegations bowing to his authority. He was not used to travelers appearing to ask about other powerful figures in his Roman territory. We know that Herod was rattled by this delegation because later in the story, he orders the murder of all the young male children in Bethlehem. But in the presence of these foreigners, Herod gathers himself, plays it cool, and disguises his fear long enough to summon the Jewish scholars. Their study of the scriptures reveals that the Christ child is to be born in the town of Bethlehem. So Herod sends the caravan on their way with instructions to return to him with a report on their way back to Iraq or wherever they were headed. When the caravan of astrologers approached Bethlehem, they see the star again and we're told are overjoyed. It's an interesting word, interesting translation choice. Some other versions say they were overwhelmed with joy, overjoyed. It was too much for them. And this time, the star leads them to the home where they found Mary with her child Jesus, who is probably more like a toddler, a 1 or 2 year old by this point. Upon entering the house, they fall face down, flat on the floor in front of the toddler, Jesus, and his mother, Mary, their bodies expressing their reverence and their respect. Then they present the child with gifts. And I assume because they were spiritually open on this pilgrimage, God was able to speak to them in the depths of their dreams to give them a warning not to pass back by fuming Herod, but to bypass him as they headed back home. What an odd scene. And what an odd way Matthew's gospel has of telling it. Here we have a large traveling caravan of astrologers and all their attendants from Babylon or somewhere exotic. They travel for weeks on end in order to worship this newborn light. They fall down, they give their gifts, and then they leave. Well, I've got some questions. I don't know about you. Did these foreign travelers even speak the Aramaic that Mary and Joseph and their family would have spoken? Did they communicate anything? Were they able to speak? Did they use signs? Did the travelers try to communicate why they had come? How long did they stay? Did they have lunch before they left, use the restroom? I don't know. Of these and other questions, Matthew's gospel shows no interest whatsoever. The gospels as we have them are not the eyewitness accounts of journalists. They are instead something much better. They are artful and inspired invitations to imagine ourselves caught up in this attraction to God's new light, beckoned into our own adventures towards unknown but exciting territory. This gospel story offers to us on Epiphany Sunday the graceful possibility of seeing our own lives in a new way. We too are caught in this tension between the pull of power politics and the attraction to this new and joyful light. There will always be a King Herod around, demanding, threatening, and afraid. Yet the caravan of seekers doesn't find Herod's agenda all that interesting. And they represent for us the possibility of a life that's not centered in raw power, but instead centered on hope and joy. This very Jewish story reminds us that Jewish frameworks cannot contain the light. This holy birth is the birth of light that bursts out of any narrow limits and illumines the whole world, even those parts of the world and those people who seem to us so different, so foreign, so exotic, and so strange. Put a different way, the Magi remind us that there isn't anyone who doesn't live within the intense gravitational pull of Christ's wonderful light. That's why Jesus can say to his followers at the very end of Matthew's gospel, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you." I really believe that all people everywhere, all people want to be persuaded to rejoice. I don't believe that all people like the idea of being religious. I don't believe that all people want to sign up for all the expectations and obligations that come with organized and institutional religion. But I do believe that all of us, that every human being everywhere, shares an intense, passionate search for what it is that will bring us deep joy and peace and satisfaction in life. There's a book on my shelves with the title, "Persuade Us to Rejoice, The Liberating Power of Fiction." I buy books for all sorts of reasons, but this is a little bit embarrassing. Sometimes I buy a book simply because the title is so good. And that's why I bought this book, "Persuade Us to Rejoice." The book explores how good fiction, how artful storytelling can lead us out of our deadness and into the pulsing joy of life. And it goes on to suggest that artists of all kinds are primarily in the business of persuasion. Any work of art, whether it's a book or painting or poem or song or dance or whatever, any work of art has as its truest task to persuade us to rejoice. Stories and movies and music and architecture, all of it calls to us and beckons us forward, luring us into a life of infectious joy. An epiphany, it is Epiphany Sunday, an epiphany is a revelation, an illumination, a manifestation, or an appearance of light. And on this Sunday, the gospel story awakens us to the light and the joy in our own lives. The warmth of this light, the illumination that makes new discoveries possible for us, the intense pull of its attraction, all of this now has a name for us. Its name is Jesus Christ. No matter what comes our way in the coming year, may Christ, the light of the world, persuade us all to rejoice.